الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. And in our last session we had discussed the famous hadith of the repentance which brings about Allah's happiness. Not yet, bro. Not yet. Allah's happiness. And we said that Allah becomes happy because the hadith says so. And we don't interpret it as mercy, as reward, or anything else, which is usually the common approach of those who have deviated from the correct understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. We believe in it as it is. However, we further say the happiness of Allah is not like your happiness, my happiness, or the happiness of any of the creation. The happiness of Allah is unlike the happiness of everyone else, because Allah is unlike everyone else. Just the same way the essence of Allah is not like the essence of anything else, everything pertaining to Allah is also not like everyone else's. With that basic fundamental belief system, you are able to understand everything in the Quran and the Sunnah per the apparent meaning without having to get philosophical and deny what was revealed from Allah and what was taught by the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ through that revelation as well. طيب. Now, we were dealing with the actually practical benefits. Now, the practical benefits of the hadith. What do we benefit from the hadith? And again, I will narrate the hadith summarized for those who were absent last week. The hadith is about that Allah is more happy than when a slave repents to Him than a man who was out in the desert and who had a mount, his animal, his camel, and on the camel was his food and his drink, and suddenly he lost it. And the food and the drink is on the camel. So he despaired, he realized that that he can never survive. He lied under the tree waiting for death. Khalas, no animal, no transportation, no food, no drink. While in that state, he wakes up to find his animal tied to the branch of a tree. Because he got so happy, he said, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. I am your master." Instead of saying, "Oh Allah, you are my master and I am your slave." The Prophet ﷺ said he made a mistake due to excessive happiness. How happy is that person? Allah is happier than when a slave simply repents to Him. SubhanAllah. And we said that Allah's happiness is unlike everyone else. Now, practical benefit of the hadith. The Shaykh said, يُفِيدُنَا أَن نَحْرِصَ عَلَى التَّوْبَةِ غَايَةَ الْحِرْصِ كُلَّمَا فَعَلْنَا ذَنْبًا تُبْنَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. The practical benefit from this narration is that we should be keen on tawbah as much as we can. Tawbah is repentance. Every time we commit a sin, then we should repent to Allah. Every time we commit a sin, we should repent to Allah. قال الله تعالى في وصف المتقين. Allah said while describing the muttaqin, the righteous, the pious, the good among His creation. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أي فاحشة مثل الزنا واللواط ونكاح ذات المحارم. Those who if they commit فاحشة, فاحشة يعني is an abhorrent sin. Not only a sin, يعني it's extreme. It's extreme, it's exaggerated, right? Hyperbolized, another word. Major sin. But it's extremely repulsive. Such as zina. How do we translate zina? No. How do we translate zina? That's it? Adultery. طيب. Is there a difference between them?
Before marriage and after marriage.
Explain.
Who is involved in sexual intercourse? Before marriage, it's called the fornication. Who is involved in sexual intercourse after marriage? Adultery.
So if someone got married, then they divorced.
That is also called adultery.
And what is there a difference between the ruling on the punishment? What is the ruling on, let's get someone else, barakallahu feek. What is the ruling on the punishment, what is the punishment for the one who fornicates?
Yeah, and punishment for 100.
MashaAllah. 100 lashes and he is exiled or banished for 1 year. Out. Send him out.
For male witness.
Yeah, but that's for the establishment of the na'am or the confession, right, of the person. The person may confess. Right. And the ruling on what is the punishment for the one who commits adultery, the adulterator?
Stoning to death.
Beautiful. So we're on point, alhamdulillah, mashallah. This is all da'wah terminology. So just testing you a little bit. Right. So the Shaykh said, fahisha is zina, liwat. Liwat, what is liwat?
Homosexuality.
The people of Lut. Nah, liwat. What is the punishment for the homosexuals who are caught in the act, the doer and the one who is being done?
Killed.
To be killed. Now, but the issue is that the scholars have differed on the manner of killing. Many of them say that they should be tossed off at the top of the mountain. Yeah, because they should be punished the same way Allah punished the people of Lut. The people of Lut were punished so severely that there was three punishments, unlike the rest. There was the scream, then Jibreel came with his wing, he picked up the earth, that part of the earth which they were living on, he raised them up to the sky, turned them upside down, and then smashed them back down. Then birds came and stoned them again. Because of the abhorrence of that sin, wal-iyadu billah. That's homosexuality. Even in the Bible, it's an abomination unto the Lord. It's, you know, it's something. But today you have gay priests and gay, you know, nuns. Oh, it's unbelievable, man! These people come up with all kinds of stuff. How do they reject the book, you know? And recently, right now, I just read this in the newspaper today. I mean, and on the internet, they sent some women, Italian women. Sent a letter to the Vatican and to the Pope in particular, asking him to remove this life of celibacy for the priests. Because they said, look man, we know all these priests having all kinds of affairs with women. Actually, women who have been having affairs with priests are the ones who wrote the letter and signed it. Look man, I'm sleeping with a priest. Can you just let the man live his life normally? Remove this whole thing. So now they're considering, you know, changing the religion again. They are the god of their religion. They add something, they don't like it, a week later they take it out. First, the whole celibacy is an innovation. Rahbaniya ibtada'uha. They innovated this. Allah did not make it obligatory upon them. Now, as you know, they see, and it's not really, it's inadequate. You know, there's child molestation, gay priests, you know, they're having affairs with the you know, attendees of the church. So okay, let's remove it out. And you'll be shocked. Maybe this Pope is a little too, you know, tough-headed and feeble-minded. But the next one may come and, you know, do something wise, which is really take this out of the religion. Because it's no good. A man is a man. You can't make him something else. Right? Otherwise, you know, he'll mess up. وَنِكَاحُ ذَوَاتِ الْمَحَارِمُ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And someone having relations with his relatives. What do we call that in English? Incest, right. قال الله تعالى ولا تنكحوا ما نكح آباؤكم من النساء إلا ما قد سلف إنه كان فاحشة ومقتا وساء سبيلا. And do not marry those whom your fathers have married among women except that which has preceded. Verily it is a fahisha. وَمَقْتًا, it is something detested and hated by Allah. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and it is the worst kind of path to travel upon. This is what Allah said about marrying someone who you're not supposed to be marrying among your relatives. And this is marriage. Don't ask about, you know, fornication, adultery with them. You know, this is marriage and it's that abhorrent. Let alone something else. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And do not come close This is for you, my brother. Zina. He didn't say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Don't fornicate. Don't commit adultery. لَا تَقْرَبُوا. Do not come near. قُرْب. قَرِيب. Something close. Don't even go there. Meaning anything which will lead to that, you need to stop it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. He only said, it is fahisha وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. With the one with the maharim, there was an additional word, مَقْتًا. From hatred. مقت الشيء, to hate something. You know, it's detested. طيب. إذن, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ وَقَالَ لُوطٍ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ. Lut said to his people, do you come and approach, you engage, embark on this fahisha, this abhorrent sin. Now Allah described in the muttaqin, said those who, if they do fahisha, those which were mentioned earlier, may be done by the righteous. It doesn't mean that every righteous person must do these things at some point in time to say, okay, ma'alish. This says that a pious person may fall into that by mistake, but by mistake. And there's no coming back. There's no coming back, because we will see the next of the ayat. Meaning they will not. It's not something they do all the time. It's not like he has a girlfriend, you know, and he's going out with her and say, "Wallah, this is a pious person." No way. But a pious person may, in some crazy scenario, out of, you know, totally weakness of iman and the situation, he may fall into one of these things. But as soon as he does so, his whole life is turned upside down. He is spiritually depressed, and you know, he wants, you know, the earth to swallow him. It's not something that he digests very easily. But that may happen. But not what people do today. You know, they care less about what they're doing. طيب. Or they wrong themselves. ذكر الله, they remember Allah. ذكر الله تعالى في نفوسهم ذكروا عظمته وذكروا عقابه وذكروا ثوابه للتائبين. What is intended, the Shaykh says, by they remember Allah, they remember Allah within themselves. They remember Allah's greatness, and they remember Allah's punishment, and they remember the reward which Allah has prepared, the good reward which He has prepared for those who repent. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Consequently, they sought forgiveness for their sins. They sought forgiveness for their sins. فَعَلُوا مَا فَعَلُوا لَكِنَّهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي نُفُوسِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They have done what they have done. However, they remembered Allah within themselves and they sought His forgiveness. فَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Allah shall forgive them. وَالدَّلِيلُ, and the evidence is the statement of Allah, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives the sins but Allah? None. Unlike the church, where you may go to the, you know, the priest and confess to him, and he says, say 50 Hail Marys, and do 50 push-ups, and run around the park a few times, and all your sins are forgiven, trust me on that one. And I'll meet you at 9 o'clock. These crazy people, man. I'm telling you, brother. You know, they're living in a whole, you know. Alright, that was a joke for you. Anyways, فَأَنْتَ إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ. Now, not all Christians, by the way, believe that. This is, you know, the Catholics usually. Some other denominations don't agree with that either. They're a little better, but they're still all bad. فَأَنْتَ إِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَتِكَ هَذَا الْفَرَحَ الَّذِي لَا نَظِيرَ لَهُ لَا شَكَّ أَنَّكَ سَوْفَ تَحْرِصْ غَايَةَ الْحِرْصِ عَلَى التَّوْبَةِ. الحمد لله. If you know that Allah becomes so happy by you repenting to Him, this kind of happiness that has no comparison, we cannot compare to anything else, you will no doubt strive and be keen on repenting to Allah. Yeah, this is a big deal. Now, repentance. Now, do we commit a single sin or many sins? We commit many sins in various things. We need to repent from each one. It's not sufficient to repent from one, thinking that the others will be included. Each one must have its own independent tawbah. Tawbah from lying, tawbah from cheating, tawbah from bribery, tawbah from riba, tawbah, everyone. Or one may bring to mind all of his sins, all of his wrongdoings, and he says, I will repent to Allah from everything. I'm a new Muslim. Okay, tomorrow I will not do anything the same way I used to do. That's fine. But if not, then we need to repent from each sin. If someone intends on, for example, he works at a bank, right, and he knows it's all riba, and he doesn't intend on leaving his job anytime soon, and he cannot do tawbah because he's still going there. But he may be listening to music. He says, okay, I'm going to do tawbah from that. You see what I'm saying? Someone who wants to change his life altogether and return to Allah, then he just says, does a tawbah that encompasses all of his shortcomings. He knows what they are. So the next day where he's about to, you know, engage in some of them, he say, no, I've done tawbah already, and he will withhold. But even tawbah from a single sin, Allah becomes happy. That one repents to him. Alhamdulillah. Now, وَلِتَوْبَةِ شُرُوطٌ خَمْسَةٌ. And tawbah has five conditions. Some of the ulama mentioned six, some of them mentioned seven. That's fine. Who remembers them? Don't look at the book. Because we dealt with this in the ayat. Now we're dealing with the ahadith. And the ayat, we had the same exact chapter. When we're dealing with the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابِينَ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. In that ayah, when we dealt with that early in the book, we explained the six conditions of tawbah. Now they're five.
Sincerity.
Sincerity.
You should recall what was the sin that you made and then refer to the specific sin.
Nadam. Regret. Remorse.
You should not go back to the old sin.
Before that, intending, leaving it alone, feeling regretful, leaving that sin alone. If it's an obligation that we haven't been doing, start doing it. Then fourthly, having the intention never to go back to it again. Not a short-term tawbah, you know, one week tawbah, a permanent tawbah. Then
anything related to the khawf.
Yeah, this is the sixth condition. Actually, the scholars add the fifth before the sixth one. The fifth, that you do so before your soul reaches your collarbone. Before your soul reaches the throat. Yani at the moment of death. You want to repent now? Who tried to do that? Fir'aun. What did Allah say to him in the Quran? Al-an. Now? Yani now after everything, you know, after he told the people, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your Lord, the Most High. And he rejected Musa, and he said, Musa is a magician, he's trying to mislead you. I'm afraid he will, you know, Fir'aun was telling the people, I'm afraid Musa will mislead you from the path. You know, the most deviant person during his time, warning against the Messenger of Allah, that he will mislead you from the path. And you face this today in the da'wah. You know, you go out to the da'wah world, and people, you know, if you're trying to call the people to the Quran and the Sunnah, they say that he is deviant, trying to mislead us from the path. Subhanallah al-Azim. That's as they do with Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, for example. There's a special lecture, inshallah, dedicated to that. Anyways, the point being, Fir'aun was warning against Musa. So someone who tried to repent at the time of death was Fir'aun, Allah did not accept. Al-an, waqad asayta min qabl. And you had disobeyed beforehand, and you were among the disbelievers, you know, Allah would not accept that. And the other one, the other time, assuming you're alive, what other natural thing happens that will stop the tawbah? Ya jama'a, wallah ma yaseer. The sun rising from the west, right or wrong? Hey, once the sun rises from the west, alas, everybody will believe then that, you know, there must be something supernatural taking care of this world, and it will be too late. And sixthly, returning people's rights and dues. You know, if you have robbed someone for 3,000 riyals, you can repent to Allah and buy a car with the, you know, fulus. You must give them the money back. Okay? That's part of the tawbah. Otherwise, your tawbah is not valid. Giving people back their rights. Fine. I hope next time we'll have it memorized. So the Shaykh now, even though we mentioned him, this was a good revision. الأول الإخلاص لله عز وجل بأن لا يحملك على التوبة مراءة الناس أو نيل الجاه عندهم أو ما أشبه ذلك من مقاصد الدنيا. The first condition is sincerity to Allah, the Exalted. That the purpose behind your tawbah is not to show off in front of the people, nor is it to receive honor from them, for them to venerate you or honor you, or something of this nature, or for other worldly purposes or reasons. ثاني الندم على المعصية. Second, regretful, remorseful, feeling guilty, feeling bad due to your sin. الثالث الإقلاع عنها. ومن الإقلاع إذا كانت توبة في حق من حقوق الآدميين أن ترد إلى صاحبه. The Sheikh included that and the other one. He said thirdly to abandon it. And part of the abandonment of the tawbah, or part of the abandonment in the tawbah, if it includes the rights of people, that you give it back to them. So the Sheikh included the sixth condition and the third one. No problem. No problem. الرابع العزم على ألا تعود في المستقبل. The determination that you shall not go back in the future. But question. You used to look at women on the internet. Okay? Going through YouTube and or searching random friends on Facebook to see what friends they have, so you can come across some, you know, lady somewhere along the lines. And you start feeling guilty, and you know, you're talking to yourself and you say, okay, I'm gonna do tawbah. And you sincerely do tawbah. You close the thing down, say, I'm never gonna do this again, astaghfirullah. You feel bad, you go pray, whatever. 2 weeks later, you know, you're sitting there behind your monitor and the shaitan starts whispering to you this and that, you know, boom boom, you go back and you fall into the same sin again. What do we say about the tawbah which you did 2 weeks ago? Is it valid or invalid?
Valid. This is the new
sin. Two valids. All the valids, raise your hands. Uno, dos, tres. Invalid. And the winner is valid, ya jama'ah. It's valid. Because at the time of tawbah, the conditions were met. However, due to weakness, one fell back into it. This is different than the one who at the time of tawbah, in his heart, is saying, I'm going to check it out 2 weeks later. The one who never had the tawbah, never had the condition of, I will permanently abandon this. Okay? He didn't have that intention. Then we say back then your tawbah was not valid. Because in your heart it wasn't permanent. It was temporary. But if you truly left it alone and you were okay for 2 weeks, then you go back to it again. This is the weakness of the son of Adam. Otherwise all of us are in trouble. Because Allah is merciful. Every time you do the tawbah, Allah will accept it, erase what preceded. If you fall back to it again, then you do tawbah again. As long as these conditions were met at the time of tawbah. Is that clear? Hey. But now what happens is people want to trick. People want to be tricky. But who are they tricking? They're tricking themselves. Some will say, they talk to themselves. Okay, I'm going to intend now that it'll be permanent. But they know inside that it is not. And they claim to be tawbah. Allah knows what's in the heart. So once you are genuine, once you really do the tawbah, then it is accepted. Even if you'll fall back into that same sin again and again and again, if you repent again and again and again, Allah will accept it. In fact, there's a hadith to that same effect. That the hadith says that the slave will sin, and he'll say, oh Allah, I have disobeyed you. And Allah will say, my Lord, my slave, Afwan, knows he has a Lord, a master who will forgive, and Allah will forgive him. Then he will go and do the same thing again. And you say, oh Allah, I have sinned. And Allah will say the same thing. The third, fourth, then Allah will say, go and do what you want. It doesn't mean that you can continue. It means that as long as you repent to Allah every time, believing Allah will accept your repentance, you're fine. But we can't trick Allah. So this is where the shaitan will try to deviate us. By thinking, okay, then I really don't have to do tawbah. No, we have to do a genuine, sincere tawbah every single time. If we fall back, Allah al-musta'an. But we shouldn't have in our hearts that, okay, I probably will do this again. No. At the time of tawbah, you should truly feel, I will never do this again. You see? If you still, you know, wishy-washy, I think I'm probably going to do it again, not tawbah. It's not tawbah. Kapish? Where was I? Naam. Al-khamis, an takuna tawbah fi waqt al-qabool. وينقطع قبول التوبة بالنسبة للعموم لعموم الناس بطلوع الشمس من مغربها وبالنسبة لكل واحد بحضور أجله. Fifth is that the tawbah is done at the time of acceptance, and tawbah is cut off in terms of the general masses when the sun rises from the west, and it terms for individuals then at the time of your death. Okay? قال الله تعالى وليست التوبة للذين يعملون السيئات حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن. And tawbah is not for those who engage in sins until when death comes to one of them, he says, I repent now. Allah said, the tawbah is not for these people. This is like the story of Fir'aun. وصح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن زمن التوبة ينقطع إذا طلعت الشمس من مغربها. And it has been authentically attributed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that توبة ends at the time where the sun rises from the west. والناس يوم يؤمنون حينئذ, and the people will believe thereof. ولكن لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل أو كسبت في إيمانها خيرا. In Surah Al-An'am verse 150 Allah says, no soul shall be benefited by its faith had it not believed beforehand or had earned some goodness in its iman. It will not benefit the people when they see these, you know, the one of the greatest signs of the Day of Judgment. The one, the initiator of the major signs of the Day of Judgment is the rising of the sun from the west. Once the people see that, and of course, you know, Allahu alam about the condition, it could be that the prophecies will be commonly spread among the people, that in Islam, it is thought that the sun will rise from the west, and people will just not believe. So when they see it, you know, they will become firm, say, okay, what they have been saying is the truth, and then they want to become Muslims at that time. It will not, or it could be that even without the, you know, that being popular among the people, once they see something so extraordinary, they will believe in the existence of God, because this is, you know, maybe even science will become more advanced then, and this will be something that will puzzle them. Allahu alam about the application of this reality, but that's what the hadith and the ayah mentioned. So at that time, people will want to believe, it will not benefit them. Allah will not accept it. This will be khalas. Because one may think, why not? You know, let them believe. There are other things to come. No. Once this happens, it's over. It's over. Either someone believed beforehand, or no more belief. هذه خمسة شروط إذا تمت صحة التوبة. These are five conditions. If they are fulfilled, then the repentance will be sound. ولكن هل يشترط لصحة التوبة أن يتوب من جميع الذنوب؟ However, is it conditional for tawbah to be sound that you repent from all of your sins, which is what we discussed earlier? في خلاف, the Sheikh said there's a difference of opinion. ولكن الصحيح أنه ليس بشرط. The correct position is that it is not conditional that you repent from everything simultaneously. You may repent from one thing while still engaged in another. وأنها تصح التوبة من الذنب مع الإصرار على غيره. And it is acceptable that you repent from one sin while being persistent on doing another one. لكن هذا التائب لا يصدق عليه وصف التائبين المطلق. However, this person cannot be described with the description of those who repent in the ultimate sense. He's not an ultimate repenter. He's مشي حالك. فيقال تاب توبة مقيدة لا مطلقة. We say he has repented a repentance that is tied. It is attached to something else. It is not comprehensive. It's not a comprehensive tawbah, it is like a, you know, part tawbah. فَلَوْ كَانَ أَحَدْ يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ وَيَأْكُلُ الرِّبَى. If someone used to drinks alcohol, intoxicants, and he consumes riba. فَتَابَ مِنْ شُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ. And he repented from drinking alcohol. صَحَّتْ تَوْبَتُهُ مِنْ الْخَمْرِ. His tawbah from drinking alcohol is valid and acceptable. وبقي إثمه في أكل ربا. And what remains is the sin associated with him consuming riba. ولا ينال منزلة التائبين على إطلاق. And we don't say that he will be rewarded with the reward of those who repent to Allah ultimately. لأنه مصر على بعض المعاصي, because he is persistent on some sins. He keeps engaging in some sins. He doesn't leave him alone. Allah مستعان. رجل تمت الشروط في حقه وعاد إلى الذنب مرة أخرى. طب, a man who repented, who met the conditions of tawbah, but he returned to the sin again. فَلَا تَنْتَقِدُ تَوْبَةَ الْأُولَى. His first repentance is not invalidated, as I explained to you earlier. لأنه عَزَمَ عَلَى أَنْ لَا يَعُودُ, because earlier he had the determination never to go back to it again. Very important. وَلَكِنْ سَوَّلَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ, but itself incited him. Said, it's okay, you can do it. It allowed him to get involved in that sin. فعاد, so he returned to that sin. إنما يجب عليه أن يتوب مرة ثانية. He is only expected to repent once again, a second time. وهكذا, and such, كلما أذنب يتوب. Every time he sins, he repents. وفضل الله واسع, and Allah's bounty is vast. Allah's generosity, goodness, mercy is vast. طيب, this was the second hadith. The third hadith.
When you do Hajj, Hajj is accepted as mabrur, and all your sins are washed out and become baby. That means that he is clean.
Yes. Like his mother, like the day his mother gave birth to him.
So there's nothing for a tawbah now, right? There's no sins at that point.
These are two different things. The forgiveness of the sin is unlike the tawbah. Example. Allah says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds erase bad deeds. You doing good deeds may erase the bad deeds, but you are still engaged or being persistent on a sin. Yeah, but if he didn't do tawbah, and he continues in that lifestyle, then he will pick up everything again, because he hasn't done tawbah. If he does tawbah in his hajj, because I mean, for the hajj to be accepted, tawbah must be there.
Yeah.
How could someone still be, you know, have the intention that I'm gonna get, yani he's trying to challenge Allah with sin, and he wants to get his hajj acceptable?
See, many sins are there which we know, we don't know. There's so many missings and all this stuff. You make hajj, you make tawbah, khalas, inshallah you're clean.
طيب.
And you make intention not to do anything back.
خلاص, that's fine, then his sins are forgiven. If he goes back, then this is the same thing. Yes.
But when the tawbah will be valid, it should fulfill this condition.
Yes.
That is also.
He made all these conditions and then...
Yes. Yes. Tawbah is not a bad without those.
He's working in the bank and asking tawbah.
Yeah, he cannot, you know, that should be part of his hajj. Part of the hajj is tawbah. Hajj is like an opportunity for you to cleanse yourself from everything.
Yeah.
So, all that is included. Inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal. Third narration. Al-hadith al-thalithu fi ithbati al-dhahik. Al-dhuhk. The third narration on affirming laughter. From laugh. To laugh. Which is what?
No.
Not laugh. Laugh. Maybe British accent, I don't know. L-A-U-G-H. He's laughing. Don't laugh at me. Like smiling with a sound. How about that, okay? No, but smiling and laughing are not the same. For example, the Prophet ﷺ was never seen laughing. He was never seen laughing. If when he would be extremely happy, he would smile so much that they would see his molar teeth. But he would not laugh, as one of us would laugh today. Right, so, but that doesn't mean laughter is not allowed. Excessive laughter may cause problems, but that's all another discussion. Ala kulli hal. Again, there's nothing like Allah. So don't let the shaitan be playing games with you right now. Start imagining things. Stop imagining. Did you hear me? Stop imagining now. There's nothing like Allah. Just in case, you know, you're insisting. الحديث الثالث في إثبات الضحك وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يضحك الله إلى رجلين يقتل أحدهما الآخر كلاهما يدخل الجنة. الله عز وجل laughs at two men, one of which kills the other, but both enter paradise. Allah laughs at two men. One of them kills the other, shoots him, chops his head off, but both of them enter Jannah. Well, it's a riddle. وفي بعض النسخ يدخلان. In some of the narrations, or nusakh actually is like the copies, versions of the book, of the hadith, يدخلان, they enter paradise. وهي صحيحة لأن كلا يجوز في خبرها سواء. طب this is grammar. الحديث يخبر فيه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن الله يضحك إلى رجلين. This hadith mentions that the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah laughs because of two men. عند ملاقاتهما يقتل أحدهما الآخر. Upon meeting, upon encountering one another, one of them kills the other. كلاهما يدخلان الجنة, both of them enter paradise. وأحدهما لم يقتل الآخر إلا لشدة العداوة بينهما. And the first did not kill the latter except because of great enmity between them. I mean, he hated them so much that he killed them. But they both enter Jannah. ثم يدخلان الجنة بعد ذلك. And they enter Jannah afterwards. فتزول تلك العداوة. This enmity and animosity is taken away, is gone. لأن أحدهما كان مسلما والآخر كان كافرا. Because the first who was killed was a Muslim, and the other one, the killer, was a kafir. فقتله الكافر. And the kafir killed the Muslim. فيكون هذا المسلم شهيدا فيدخل الجنة. So this Muslim فيدخل الجنة. This Muslim then is a martyr and he enters paradise. ثم من الله على الكافر فأسلم. Then Allah bestowed his favor upon the kafir. He became a Muslim. ثم قتل شهيدا. Then he is killed as a martyr. أو مات بدون قتل. He died without anyone killing him. فإنه يدخل الجنة. He enters الجنة also. فيكون هذا القاتل والمقتول كلاهما يدخل الجنة فيضحك الله إليهما. So now the killer and the one killed both enter Jannah and Allah laughs because of that. Is that clear? So at the time of the encounter, the kafir kills the Muslim. The Muslim is a martyr. He goes to Jannah. Who do we know from the Sahaba whom we can apply this example to? Khalid bin Walid. Sayfullah al-Maslul. The sword of Allah. Khalid radiallahu anhu, in the beginning, in the battle of Uhud, he was fighting against the Muslims. Actually, the Muslims were defeated because of Khalid bin Walid. Later on, he was with the Muslims, in the Muslim ranks, fighting for Muslims. So, Allah laughs at these two men. You know, subhanAllah, they hated each other, and he's killing him, you're a Muslim, I'm going to kill you. Then later on, he's a Muslim. Ajib, right? It is something that, subhanAllah, is amazing. ففي هذا إثبات الضحك لله عز وجل. In that there is the affirmation of the quality of laughter of Allah عز وجل. وهو ضحك حقيقي. It is real laughter. Real. لكنه لا يماثل ضحك المخلوقين. But it does not resemble the laughter of the creation. That's what we need to understand. ضحك يليق بجلاله وعظمته. It is laughter befitting Allah's greatness and you know, magnificence. ولا يمكن أن نمثله. We can never ever liken it to anything. We cannot say Allah laughs like this or like that or like this. No. You know, it's like Shara' Palestine blocked. You have to go around to get onto the other side. Allah yahdihum with these, you know, construction work, man. Next thing you know, for you to go to your house, you need to go all the way to Mecca and make a U-turn over there and come back and go home. Ishada every day, man, they keep extending the stuff. Anyways, that's another discussion. Ya Shaykh Allah, I'm staff. Fukkan am al-baik, let us come to the dars, man. By the time we made it, it took, you know, half an hour. Tayyib. So we do not liken Allah to any of His creation. لأننا لا يجوز أن نقول إن لله فمن أو أسنانا وما أشبه ذلك. Be careful, because it is not permissible for us to say that Allah has a mouth or teeth or any of that. No. Now, because we mentioned that Allah has a face, for the hadith and the verses, and Allah has hands, and Allah has a shin, and Allah has fingers, it does not mean that we can add anything else that we can perceive of a human being. No. What Allah affirmed to Himself, we believe. Anything extra, you cannot say that Allah has these things by analogy. Because analogy is, okay, if I have a face, my face consists of a nose, eyes, ears, mouth, so teeth, tongue, lungs, you know, throat, then that must be the same. We say, no, this is you. This is you, not Allah. Not Allah. Allah, there's nothing like Him. He has a face unlike the faces. So the application of the concept of face, which applies on the human being, cannot possibly apply to Allah. Is that clear? Are we clear on that? Okie dokie. إذن لكن نثبت الضحك لله عز وجل على وجه يليق به سبحانه وتعالى. But we affirm the quality of Allah laughing in a manner which befits His majesty. And I think 40 minutes is sufficient. What do you think? There's 15 minutes for the adhan. You okay? Fine. فإذا قال قائل يلزم من إثبات الضحك أن الله يكون مماثلا للمخلوق. If a person says to you, look man, if you say Allah laughs, that must mean that Allah is like the creation. It must. Okay? Once you say Allah laughs, then you know these, I cannot accept anything except that Allah is like His creation. فالجواب لا يلزم أن يكون مماثلا للمخلوق. The answer is, it is not necessary that Allah is like the creation. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي قَالْ يَضْحَقْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْهِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Amazing refutation. Amazing refutation. Because the same one who said Allah laughs is the same one whom Allah revealed unto him the ayah, there's nothing like unto him, there's nothing like Allah. And He is the all-hearing, all-seeing. So it's coming from the same source. When I tell you that this water tastes good, and I'm the same one who told you that the water which I bring from Africa is the most delicious water in the world. There's no water that even comes close to it. Okay? Now, if I'm the one who told you both, when I come and say this water tastes good, can you come and say it tastes like Al-Ain, which they sell in the Bagala? Why? Well, this is good and that is good. Say no. Good is per my definition. Because I'm the one who told you earlier, there's no water like it in the world, man. And still I can call it good. Because that's a fitting description. But that level of goodness is unlike anything else in the market. So you can't come and say, no, no, no. If you say good, it must be like this water. Sawa, sawa. Yes, Sheikh, I'm the one speaking. I'm the source for both statements. You must accept it on my terms. Now, if someone else said it, then we can say, okay, we have a debate here. But you, is that clear?
Yes.
So the same messenger who was telling the people, the ayah in the book of Allah, there's nothing like Allah. Nothing like Allah. Telling you Allah laughs. So how will you insist that laughing means He must be like the creation when He already told you there's nothing like Him? You see how strong that is? Ouch, man. That's like a hammer and a nail. And you just, you know, hammering Him in all the way inside. Yeah, and then putting some glue afterwards. So you can never take it out. Alhamdulillah. Na'am. وَمِنْ جِهَةٍ أُخْرَى فَالنَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا إِلَّا عَنْ وَحِيٍ. Another refutation is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not speak of these issues without revelation. He cannot come and say what Allah will do without Allah telling him that this will happen. Otherwise, that's a problem. If somebody believes that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would just come up with things and like that, this is kufr. It must be revealed by Allah. This is knowledge of the unseen. This is knowledge of from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, which He gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لأنه من أمور الغيب. It's from the matters of the unseen. ليس من الأمور الاجتهادية التي قد يجتهد فيها الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. It is not among the matters which entertain exerting one's knowledge, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would try to, you know, come up with the ruling on his own. ثم يقره الله على ذلك أو لا يقره. Then Allah will acknowledge, approve, or He will not. As in the issues of in other issues. ولكنه من الأمور الغيبية التي يتلقاها الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام عن طريق الوحي. Nay, but it is from the matters of the unseen which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم receives via revelation. وحي, being inspired, receiving revelation or inspiration from Allah عز وجل. ولو قال قائل المراد بالضحك الرضا. What is it, if someone said, what is intended by Allah laughing is Allah being pleased. It's pleasure. Allah's pleasure with this person. Meaning Allah being pleased with this person. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا رَضِيَ عَنِ الشَّيْءِ سُرَّ بِهِ وَضَحِكَ. And he uses analogy. Because a person, when you please with something, you become happy and you laugh. وَالْمُرَادُ بِرِضَ الثَّوَابِ أَوْ إِرَادَ الثَّوَابِ. Or they say, what is intended by laughter and no. And what is intended by rida, Allah being pleased, is reward. That Allah will want to reward you with goodness. كما قال ذلك أهل التعطيل, as it was said by the people who deny the effect of the Quran and the Sunnah. The implementation, the application of the Quran and Sunnah, they deny them. They do ta'til. They break them. They make them of no effect. Subhanallah. The Shaykh says, فالجواب أن نقول هذا تحريف للكلمة عن مواضعه. We say this is twisting the meaning. Twisting the meaning and going off the intended words and what they mean. فما الذي أدراكم أن المراد برضا الثواب. Who in the world told you that what is intended by Allah being pleased is reward? On what basis? How can someone come and say, oh, what Allah wants, you know, is that. You know what I received today? An email. I'm going to finish the desk with this. Remember the lecture? Do not forward, you didn't come. I'll talk to you later about that. You came?
No.
Allah yahdik. It was very important lecture, because a very important lecture. Very about, you know, the junk you get in the email. You know what I got today? In the email? I checked it while driving here in the traffic. A story about a man who's been going to the masjid for 30 years. And he said he heard over 30,000 sermons. He said, and what's the benefit? You know, I don't remember anything. So anyways, and he put it on the newspaper, people refuted him, and basically someone said, well, I've been married for 30 years, and my wife fed me 30,000 meals. And you know what? If she didn't feed me, I would have died. So, you know, you going there keeps you alive, keeps your iman alive. Even if you don't remember, it keeps your iman alive. Then check this out. And it ended this email by saying, next time Satan knocks on your door, say, oh Allah, can you get it? The majnoon, majnoon. The people are crazy, man. Next time Satan knocks on your door, say, oh Allah, can you please get it? Ishada. This is crazy. Look, the meaning is understood. That you are seeking refuge with Allah. Next time Shaitan wants to, you know, deviate you, then seek Allah's refuge. But do you dare to say, you ask Allah to open a door for Shaitan who's knocking on your door? A'udhu billahi, ya akhi. Look, no veneration to Allah. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Allah says to the people of Nuh, said, what is the matter with you? You don't hold Allah in high esteem. How dare you say, open the door? Oh Allah, can you get this? Like somebody would speak to his buddy, you know? When somebody, you know, your friend, can you get this? Can you open the door? You know, this is what people send in the email. These are Muslims. Muslims that you think, you know, will have a sense. Yeah, and you read the statement and you feel your skin starts to crack. You just want to, you know, I was about to throw the phone out the window. Ishada, ya akhi, I can't believe I read this, wallah. So, you know, how did I get there? Yeah, and people try to, you know, go off the path, you know, in terms of what they're saying. Anyways, I conclude the dars with that because I got excited. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam, ala nabiyyina Muhammad.